Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. This episode of Locked On 49ers is brought to you by Built Bar. Remember, go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code Locked On for $10 off your first box of Built Bars, and a special this week only, an extra $5 off Memorial Week special at BuiltBar.com. It's mailbag time, another Tuesday mailbag. Shout out to everybody who hit me up on Twitter at BDPeacock with their questions, some emails as well, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. Don't fret if I don't get to your question today. I'll hit some more tomorrow with Nick Winkler on another Winky Wednesday episode. And then looking ahead to Thursday, our friend Jeff Deeney of Pro Football Focus will be joining the program. And then we'll continue to get into some of the late round draft picks. Still haven't talked in depth about Charlie Warner and Juwan Jennings, the 6th and 7th round selections for the 49ers, and a bunch of undrafted free agents. Some exciting names there, actually, who we will dive deeper into later in the coming weeks as we slowly approach training camp. And actually, according to Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports, he said his sources say that NFL head coaches can return to team facilities as early as next week, with full squad mini camps potentially on the docket for mid to late June, which would mean things are looking very good for training camp, preseason, and of course, regular season football with or without fans. But football looks like it is coming right now. More and more states, California, New York, New Jersey, those were the big ones. And their governors now are saying, yeah, it looks like we can have these sports without fans in the seats at the very least. So all good news there on that front as the offseason rolls and the 2020 season approaches. On that note, let's kick off this mailbag with a question from Joshua. He says, could an NFL game get canceled if enough players on one of the teams contracted COVID? If so, what's the magic number? 10, 15, the entire 53? No, I mean, I don't think it would take the entire 53, but I think we'll find out probably before games happen what this will look like, because as soon as teams get together, whether it's mini camp in June or training camp, by the end of the preseason, we'll have a really good idea of what this thing looks like. And maybe just right immediately when teams get together and players get together, there will be a spike. And I'm sure there will be a ton of protocols in place. But with so many healthy young people like NFL players are, that might not show symptoms, but might still be spreading something around, that, you know, there's got to be testing every day pretty much for every player, right? And if one guy gets it, you have to sequester that one person. But if any one team, a large group of players get this, I think it might shut down all the activities for all the league again. And they have to rethink things. And that's what's difficult about this, because and we saw it with the NBA. As soon as it started to spread, that was it. It was game over for the entire league. And it kind of came from one guy almost. So I don't think there's a magic number. I think 10 on one team is plenty. And that would shut down all activities for that team at least. And maybe the whole league would have to rethink things. And you hope there's not some massive spike again when people do start getting back together a little bit. And hopefully they have enough protocols in place where that doesn't happen. If it's one or two players, it might not shut anything down. But if you're talking 10, 15 for one team, absolutely. That entire team is probably going to stop practicing at least. But we should know through training camp what that's going to look like. And if, you know, maybe if there is a minor spike in, and I'm talking even in the public at large, because people are starting to move about a little bit more freely now. And if there is maybe a little bit of a rise in cases, but that flattens out quickly, then I think we'll be okay. But if there's some huge spike again, and if anything gets rapidly spread around an NFL locker room, I mean, that's it. They'll shut the whole thing down, I imagine, pretty immediately. So it's a good question, and it's really just a wait-and-see scenario when things do open up, and I'm sure they're going to do everything they can to make sure that kind of thing does not happen. Joe says, I'm reading a lot about revenue for the NFL could be down with no fans at games and negatively affecting the salary cap in 2021. If that's the case, do you foresee any potential cap casualties like Buckner this year? Yeah, Joe, that's a tough one, because I don't think the cap will go down. I don't think the league will ever allow the cap to go down. And I've heard scenarios where basically they'll borrow from future years to make sure the 2021 cap at least stays where it's at. But teams this whole offseason, or not the whole offseason, but up until, you know, March when things got serious, they were planning on having probably a $20 million bump at least next year in salary cap. So even if it stays the same, I think teams' plans will change. I think that's why we're seeing a lot of teams not really do deals in extensions with players right now. That might make things difficult for George Kittle. And yes, absolutely, it's going to mean there's some tough decisions next year. I mean, Dee Ford is the obvious one to me, and it's because of the chronic knee tendonitis. And if he's only playing 30% of the snaps again in 2020, I think he might be gone even if the cap did go up. So that's, you know, potential money lopped off of the cap there, and there could be some other ones. And yeah, it gets very difficult, and the 49ers have a lot of guys up for raises. Then what do you do to replace him as an edge rusher? What do you do with Richard Sherman and the big contract he'll demand, and Jaquaski Tartt and Kaywan Williams and Trent Williams, who could get $20 million a year? So that's going to be very difficult. They've got some tough decisions to make anyway, and if the cap doesn't go up, it's going to be even more difficult for teams like the 49ers, who have a lot of good players that could earn potentially big-time money. To David, who asks, with the roster size increase this season, where does Shanahan take more bodies than in previous years? I think it makes it a lot easier for Shanahan to carry an extra wide receiver, for sure. That's a position right now where there's a lot of bodies. Maybe offensive line, you carry 10 instead of 9. Running back, I think they'll try to carry 4 no matter what. Obviously, he's carried 3 quarterbacks. That probably won't change, even though I would have never carried 3 quarterbacks this whole time, essentially. So there's a lot of positions. Defensive line, they have a lot of depth right now, and they might want to make sure they have all of that depth in case there are some injuries and keep a strength, as they say. So there are definitely some positions where you see a lot of bodies that before might have been tougher decisions. They might actually get that extra nudge. And special teams, you know, special teams has a lot to say in it with those last roster spots, and usually the special teams coach gets to keep some guys. So maybe if you're looking at a player like, I don't know, in the past, I think it was Raheem Mostert. His job was saved a lot by being the 53rd guy because how good he was on special teams allowed him to develop. Maybe Richie James is that guy at wide receiver, and they were going to keep 6, but they're like, you know what, we have the extra spot. Let's keep the 7th, make sure we have a guy who's a reliable return man, and that will help them, you know, with the numbers game and not have to try to sneak, say, Juwan Jennings onto the practice squad or something like that. So yeah, wide receiver, 4 running backs, 3 quarterbacks, tight end. I don't think they're at a roster crunch this year at the tight end position. I think it's pretty clear who the top 3 will be, and maybe it's only 3 now with the rookie added to the 2 veteran guys that are pretty much locks for the roster. So yeah, I'd say wide receiver is probably the one where you could sneak 7 where normally they would take 6. Although the 49ers don't use that many wide receivers in a given game, and they only dressed 4 for the Super Bowl. They run more 21 personnel than any team in the league. So, you know, it's usually 1, 2, or 3 wide receivers, and then a return guy is really all they use. So is that the best use of resources to keep 7 wide receivers? I don't know. It's a good question. But essentially, you can keep the best guy. When it comes down to it, you say, okay, here's my 53. If I get 1 or 2 more, who are the best players that we don't want to lose? Let's just keep them. Who cares what the numbers look like at the position groups? Jeremy says, would the 49ers consider carrying 1 less running back to carry an additional wide receiver and use Debo and other wide receivers out of the backfield? Yeah, so on that same note, first of all, no. I don't think the 49ers are going to consider a wide receiver a running back. I think Shanahan has talked about how he liked carrying 4 running backs in the past. So it's either going to be Jerick McKinnon or it's going to be one of the undrafted rookies, Salvon Ahmed or Jamichael Hasty. Jamichael Hasty is probably the one I see making it if McKinnon doesn't. To go with, obviously, you have Jeff Wilson, you have Raheem Mostert, and you have Tevin Coleman. They might keep an extra wide receiver, but it's not because he necessarily sees him as a running back. Although he's going to have a lot of fun, I think. If Hurd is healthy, you could see him line up anywhere. If you have a healthy core of wide receivers, why not use them more and have some fun with it and run out there, right? So if you're a defense and you see the 49ers go out with 3 wide receivers, you're like, cool, let's go nickel. And then all of a sudden, oh no, Ayuk, or oh no, Jalen Hurd, or oh no, Debo Samuel just went and motioned into the backfield. Now they got numbers that they want to hand the ball off because we're in nickel. So I think that's the fun that Kyle Shanahan will have because they're wide receivers. But I don't think you necessarily need to keep an extra to treat him as a full-time running back or anything like that. I think it's going to be more positionless and more just a lot of fun. And these questions are really segueing right into each other. We have another one about expectations for Jerick McKinnon I want to get to. More mailbag coming up. But first, I want to tell you guys about Built Bar and a very special offer this week. Through May 31st, Memorial Week special, $5 off every box of Built Bars. That's on top of promo code Locked On that gets you $10 off your first box of Built Bars. And oh yeah, now 20 flavors. They added 4 new flavors, peanut butter banana, pineapple upside down cake, coconut pecan pie, and blueberry lemon to their already amazing 16 flavors. 8 of those chocolate with nuts, 8 of those chocolate nut-free flavors. And all bars are covered in 100% delicious chocolate. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. It's a snack you can feel good about because it's delicious and it is good for you. My favorite flavor is the peanut butter. 20 grams of protein in that one, only 3 grams of sugar in the mint brownie flavor. Only 110 calories, 15 grams of protein, and 4 grams of sugar. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your first order. And this week, only $5 more off. Choose your flavors. Build your own box. Promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Rod wants to know what the realistic expectation is for Jerick McKinnon being 2 years removed from injury. I would say, and look, Jerick McKinnon on social media, and I get it, players are competitive. And he really is trying to use all of this as a chip on his shoulder, which is good, man. I hope Jerick McKinnon is that guy. But I don't think the expectation should be really anything. If you're a 49ers fan, anything you get from Jerick McKinnon is extra value at this point. If he's, because that's the one thing about this injury. ACL tear 2018. Complications from that on IR all of 2019. There were reports that he's really not even cutting fully yet on that leg, 2 years removed. If you take away that explosive athletic ability that earned him the nickname Jet, even if he is, you know, quote unquote healthy and can play, if he's not that Jet, then he's not the guy that you want him to be in the offense. He's not the guy Kyle Shanahan signed him to be anyway. So at that point, I don't think it would make sense to move on from somebody who is signed long-term, who is in longer-term plans, even an undrafted free agent, and risk losing that player if you can't get him to the practice squad for a non-jet, essentially. So expectations should not be high, but allow yourself to be pleasantly surprised, because if he is that guy, Kyle Shanahan said he had to throw out, you know, half his playbook or whatever in 2018 after Jerick McKinnon's ACL injury. Like the possibilities that Jerick McKinnon could give the 49ers offense and give Shanahan as a receiver out of the backfield could be really fun and could be substantial. So he could be a massive boon to the offense and another piece that maybe has been missing for Kyle Shanahan in the way he envisioned using him. But if he's not that explosive player, then really there's no point in that. And unfortunately, that's the way I expect this thing to go, is Jerick McKinnon probably doesn't make the team out of camp because he has to be 100%. And I don't know how you could ever expect him to be that with what he's gone through, unfortunately, over the last 2 years. I mean, he hasn't played a football game since 2017, since Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch's first year with the 49ers, which seems like an eternity ago, right? Then you look at it in football terms with what the 49ers roster has become. He was only a 3.4, 3.8 yard per carry guy his last 2 years in Minnesota as a ball carrier. So his value is purely as a receiver. So are you going to give him a roster spot and take snaps away from guys who are healthy and have proven to be explosive in the last 2 years? And do you give him touches instead of Tevin Coleman and instead of Raheem Mostert especially? I just don't think that answer is yes right now for a guy who's going into his year 28 season. And we've seen careers be made and lost. Like, what was Todd Gurley 2 years ago? How rapidly things can change in the NFL. Where was Raheem Mostert 2 years ago? So it's been an eternity, really, since he's been on the field in 2017 as an actual player. So expectations, no, should not be high. But, man, I would love to see what Kyle Shanahan envisioned and see if Jerick McKinnon was back and that explosive player. I would love to see that. And hopefully he is that guy. And the motivation from people like me who are not giving him enough credit for being able to do that hopefully proves us all wrong. I like this question from Mr. Wamptastic. First of all, it's a great name. And his question is, I've seen some minor league stadiums being listed on Airbnb. What would you pay for a night in Levi's? That's a really good question. You know, I kind of want to save this for Nick and get into some possibilities there. I'm trying to think, first of all, for what I would pay, I would have to think about what I would use it for. Would I just go screw around and play football with some friends, reenact the catch, just camp out, hang out? What would I do at the stadium that would provide me with some sort of an idea of what kind of value I would place on it? Because all I'm getting is a stadium, right? It's just a large patch of grass. So what makes that valuable? Okay, I'm going to think on that for about 24 hours when we bring Nick on the show. I'm going to throw that question his way. I like that question from Mr. Wamptastic. Anthony says, do you think maybe people are sleeping on Pettis? Maybe just a sophomore slump. What's the chances he has a bounce back season and is a solid receiver? You know, and I had a question last week about Pettis versus, let's see if I can find it. It was Pettis versus Travis Benjamin for a roster spot. And here we go. This is from Jefferson. He said, hey, Brian, how about the veteran Travis Benjamin? I think he's got the edge over Pettis. And I would disagree with Jefferson about that. I would say Pettis has the edge. I mean, Pettis is, even with last year's sort of lost sophomore slump season, Pettis is more, has had more production as a receiver than Travis Benjamin has his last 2 years. So Benjamin mostly has been used as a special teams guy the last couple of years. So I would say it's Benjamin versus Richie James more so than it's Benjamin versus Dante Pettis, because if Dante Pettis proves he can be a receiver, then he's already younger, cheaper, signed past this year, and has already produced more as a receiver in Kyle Shanahan's offense the last couple of seasons. So Pettis absolutely has an opportunity to have a bounce back season, and we've seen him produce, and we see how he can get open. He's got pure hands. It's all upstairs. It's just, is he going to compete? Is he going to be an animal when he comes and shows up to camp? Is he going to get open? He's got to compete with Brandon Ayuk. I could absolutely see Pettis being the starter. I could see Pettis getting traded. I could see Pettis not on the roster at all. There's an endless amount of end results when it comes to Dante Pettis, and one of those is absolutely a bounce back season and being a long-term starter and a big-time long-term contributor, maybe returning some punts and being at least a slot guy in this offense. There's so many possibilities. He could play any of the wide receiver positions. You can move him around. You can hand him the ball. I want to see the Pettis ceiling that we thought we might get last year instead of the slump. He has a chance to get there. Looked a little bit thicker in that Instagram story. By the way, I don't know if you guys heard about this. Kendrick Bourne on Instagram talked about going out and he was catching passes from Jimmy Garoppolo. It looked like Jalen Hurd might have been there. Looked like Poindexter was there. And it looked like Dante Pettis was there. Dante Pettis looking maybe slightly thicker. Put on a couple pounds. Okay, I like it. To Lee on Twitter, who says, which current NFL free agent would you like the Niners to sign? Has Tremaine Johnson just completely fell off, or is he just not a good fit for the Niners? I thought Tremaine Johnson was a good fit for the Niners cover three scheme a couple off seasons ago. He obviously got a contract that as soon as I saw what he signed for with the Jets, it's like, oh God, okay, that much money? And obviously the Jets realized with the new GM, Joe Douglas, showing up, he's like, why did you pay Tremaine Johnson this much money? So look, if there's an injury, Tremaine Johnson, if he's still on the street, you snap him up in camp to a very cheap deal. I think he could be a nice boundary corner in this scheme for the 49ers. He's not somebody I would sign right now because I think they have their starters set, and I don't think he's going to beat out Richard Sherman, obviously, and I don't think he would beat out Emmanuel Moseley either. So he would be just a depth piece. But he's a California guy, and if he's available and wants to sign for cheap, why not add some depth to the team? Or obviously if there's some injuries, but the fact that he's not signed tells you what the league thinks of him right now, or maybe he's just waiting because he's not getting the offers he likes. As for other free agents that the 49ers could sign, Everson Griffin, defensive end, still out there. Obviously, the 49ers right now don't have just obvious holes and players who are still free agents are usually free agents for a reason. You know, the Niners aren't going to go sign Jadeveon Clowney or anything like that. Anybody they sign has to come on a cheap deal. So most of these guys are not going to be cheap. I had talked about, instead of spending a first-round draft pick on a defensive tackle, Snacks Harrison is still out there. If you're looking for someone to stuff the run, a 350-pounder, there's your guy. And DJ Jones is talking about how he's getting ready for an expanded role with the 49ers at defensive tackle. But they've got a lot of bodies now on the defensive line. That's not really a need either anymore. Maybe a speedy edge rusher type. I mean, nobody good is out there, but someone who could chase down Russell Wilson and chase down Kyler Murray. That's a worry I have for the 49ers. Someone who's an undersized, sort of a poor man's version of what D Ford is. Someone who's just a situational rusher with speed off the edge to run in. Chase quarterbacks is something I would be, you know, scouring for. Just a camp body type probably is all you're going to find there. Yeah, there's just not a lot of obvious players that you would say, yeah, Niners need to snap up one of these guys. And if they did snap somebody up, it'd probably be on the cheap, and it probably will be after an injury forces them to sign somebody because of a current need. Okay, let's finish up this edition of the Locked On 49ers Mailbag Strong next. Oh, here's a good philosophical team-building question. I love these. From Trevor on Twitter. He says, if only one of our first-round picks could work out, which would have the bigger impact, wide receiver or defensive tackle? To me, as important as defensive line is, I would say wide receiver. And if you look at how the league pays wide receivers versus interior defensive linemen, there's a couple of, you know, J.J. Watt or Aaron Donald level. If your defensive tackle is at that level and is just otherworldly unblockable, then yeah, probably you would still say defensive tackle. I would probably, if I was just drafting, and obviously if they were 100% healthy and everybody was the same age, I would take J.J. Watt and Aaron Donald probably over any wide receivers in the NFL because of the impact they can have on the game. So if it's at that level, but look, nobody, like there's, it's so rare that someone is at that level. If they're just work out as what they could be, I would probably say wide receiver. And if you listen, if you believe the Pro Football Focus folks, they're actually skewing more and more now in that wide receiver is even more valuable than defensive ends. And it's like quarterback and then corners and wide receivers in that order. And even more so than defensive ends, which I would still put defensive end probably two, and then offensive tackle, and then maybe corners, then wide receivers, and defensive tackles would be after that, just because you can get production from a defensive tackle where you have, you know, an early down guy and then an undersized pass rusher that comes in later. And it's easier to find defensive tackles than it is to find stud wide receivers in the league. So yeah, on the surface, I think the easy answer to that is say, yeah, wide receiver positional value is higher than defensive tackle. Unless you're getting J.J. Watt, Aaron Donald level interior defensive lineman, then that's definitely what I would rather have. The way this question is phrased, though, from Trevor, bigger impact if only one of them could work out. I just think that Javon Kinlaw is probably the better overall prospect. So what he could be at his ceiling will be better than what I envision Brandon Ayuk being at his ceiling, if that makes sense. So in that case, I would still say Kinlaw of those two players, but overall, big picture, wide receiver positional value over defensive tackle. A great answer to that question actually is what we saw in 2018 from the 49ers defense. That defense was not great. They were non-functional, in fact, without the edge pass rush. And that's with a team that had Arik Armstead still. That's with a team that still had DeForest Buckner accumulating 12 sacks and playing every darn snap. As good as DeForest Buckner was, until the edge rushers came, that defense took another huge jump and it was a completely different unit. So to me, that's where the defensive tackle positional value argument is, and why I thought it was smart and a shrewd move, as much as I love DeForest Buckner, that the 49ers traded him. And when they got that offer for a first rounder and didn't pay him $20+ million a year, I think that's why they had to do that, because of the positional value of defensive tackle. Then obviously they undid that by spending a first round pick and more resources on a defensive tackle in round one, but at least he's a lot cheaper, Javon Kinlaw is, than DeForest Buckner. And we'll see how good Kinlaw ends up being. But that's why when I always talk about defensive end and the positional value, we've seen it with this 49ers team from 2018 to 2019. There is a gargantuan gap in value for your defense to have Nick Bosa on your roster instead of, you know, or that type instead of DeForest Buckner type. It's just, that's just the way it is. It's so much harder and so much more valuable to find edge rusher than an interior defensive lineman. And most teams around the league don't have a problem finding good, you know, fine, capable starting caliber and rotational caliber interior defensive lineman. Let's finish this up with the defensive backfield and a question from Christopher. He said, I'm curious what your thought is on this. I think the 49ers go with 6 cornerbacks. 5 of them, I think, are locks. Sherman, Mosley, Witherspoon, Reed, Williams. I think the last spot comes down to between Jason Verrett or Tim Harris. What do you think? I'm on board. Yeah, I think that's a pretty good. Well, look, 6 cornerbacks. Let's see, how many cornerbacks did they keep last year? 5 or 6. Tim Harris has to show a lot to make the roster. And Jason Verrett, again, has to prove he's healthy, I think, is key. And, you know, the 2 snaps he played last year before he got yanked and then put on IR. I don't know what to expect for those guys. I think their depth, I think I could see a situation where neither one of them makes the roster. But at this point in time, Dante Johnson, just, you can't count him out. He just has an ability to stick around. And just when you think his career might be over, Dante Johnson should be in the conversation. Has been healthier than Verrett and has more NFL experience than Tim Harris. So in that regard, I don't know if Johnson should be not included or actually put even in front of both Verrett and Tim Harris. But what I saw from Tim Harris last year, what I saw of him as a prospect, I'd be surprised actually if Tim Harris works his way on to the roster. But I agree with your 5 locks. Absolutely. It's Sherman, Mosley, Witherspoon, Reed, and Williams. Reed can back up the slot. Mosley can play in the slot, and Witherspoon could play outside. I think the 49ers would probably like to have one more guy, and Reed can play outside too, but Sherman, Mosley, Witherspoon, I think they'd probably like to have one more outside corner that they feel really strong about there, and that's where Verrett, Tim Harris, and Dante Johnson come in. And who knows, maybe somebody of the undrafted variety is able to come in and turn some heads, but there's going to be injuries too, so who knows, maybe all the names we're talking about end up making the roster in the long run. But to me, it's Mosley. Is Mosley going to take even another step from what we saw last year? Because people like to crap on Mosley for what happened in the Super Bowl and really one big play. And you could blame Ward if you want. You could blame Mosley if you want for that 3rd-and-15 conversion for the Chiefs. But what I saw with Mosley last year, he is so far and away better than Witherspoon with the way he played, and he's absolutely the starter at right cornerback for me with Sherman, and there's really no conversation about that. And then Witherspoon will provide depth, even though, you know, he's played some really great games and played some other games that weren't as good. I love Kaywan Williams, one of the most underrated players in the league as a slot corner. I like Reed as, you know, a versatile backup player that can play some special teams and that will give you everything he's got, even though he's a little bit undersized and underspeeded for the NFL game from what I've been able to see. But yeah, those 5 are absolutely locks for the 49ers. But, you know, they've got to keep an eye on depth there. They've got to keep an eye on the future. So if they think they have something in Tim Harris as a piece that's going to be around longer than this year, then maybe he does end up having the edge and he has an opportunity in training camp to prove to be that guy. But if I was to pick one, I'd probably pick Jason Verrett. The fact that they brought him back, the level we've seen him play in the past in the NFL, if he can prove to be, you know, somewhat healthy again and get more reps this time during the preseason and before just getting chucked into the game and then getting torched right away and being targeted right away, I'll still put my money on Jason Verrett just because what level I've seen him play at already in the NFL. All right. Thanks everybody for getting involved in this mailbag. Apologies if I did not get to you, but we will get into more of your questions tomorrow on Winky Wednesday. Jeff Deeney of Pro Football Focus. If you have any questions you want me to ask him, let me know on Twitter at BD Peacock. That will be Thursday's program. Talk to you then right here, Locked On 49ers.